so many people out there that have it that don't talk about it, and not knowing that the foods that we are eating could be causing those symptoms. And as crazy as that sounds, I was depressed for 8 years. I was like, how is this possible? I'm eating healthy, right? I knew that this was the only way to figure out what is going on and if it's going
to
help.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Dr. Fernando Morales podcast. Today, we have Christine Carrera with us. She's going to talk to us about her journey in the carnivore diet. Tell us a bit about her journey in discovering Noster and how that eventually led to also discovering a bit of Bitcoin. But the main focus right now will be her carnivore journey. She has a quite interesting story and a YouTube channel, which we'll later link in the description below so you can follow and see exactly what her journey has been like. She's been documenting pretty much every day or like once a week.
I started every day for the first probably a little over 100 days of doing it pretty much every day. And then now I still kind of let you know what's going on and what I'm dealing with and what it's helped me with. And then I kind of also am answering questions that people have. So now it's a little bit more, you know, more open to that as well as my actual journey.
Wow. So that's like a really close follow-up. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Well, before we get into the carnivore diet per se, can you tell us a bit about yourself and what your life was before discovering the carnivore diet?
Yes. So I have been suffering from depression, anxiety. I had fatigue, brain fog, inflammation. I have thyroid issues, and I also have gut issues. I have microscopic colitis. And so I've had a lot of these things for a lot of years. Depression really started after having my first baby. So it was more the postpartum, and the anxiety intensified. I've had anxiety since I was little, but it just got worse. And I have three children. So after each kid, it just kind of got worse and worse. And it got to the point where I was just, I tell people I was tired of being tired. And I think that you need to get to the point in your life where you're like, is this it? Or is there something better? And I tried elimination diets of like no gluten, no dairy, adding more greens. And when I did one of those where it was more greens than anything, my gut was worse. I was like, how is this possible? I'm eating healthy, right? Because you're always hearing about eat more veggies and do all these things in this balanced diet. And I was actually feeling worse. My anxiety was not going away. My depression was getting worse. And so I came across the carnivore diet a few years back because my husband watches the Joe Rogan show, and we saw Dr. Sean Baker on there. And my first reaction was what probably most people's reaction is. And that's, this is a crazy diet. What are you talking about? I was like, I am not doing that. Like, I love my pasta and I'm Hispanic. I love my food and my ingredients and all those, you know, it's just, it's hard to explain. I grew up on rice and beans. So when you grow up for so many years only thinking one way and we're taught to eat a certain way and that's all we know, it's hard to kind of switch that little thing in your mind to tell yourself like, maybe this is what I need. And although it sounded so extreme and so crazy, it took me a while to finally, like I said, get, you know, tired of being tired. I was tired of feeling depressed. I have three kids. I needed the energy. I would midday be driving to pick up my two older kids and feel like I could fall asleep in the car because it was this tiredness that would just come over me. And I work from home as well. And sometimes it was difficult because it literally felt like a cloud was over my head, which is like that brain fog. And you just can't concentrate. You can't get moving. And I was just like, this isn't a way to live. And when I finally decided to do the carnivore diet, it was because my husband started to do it back in October. And I started to watch more videos and read more about it and talk about it and do all the things that you need to do. And I finally said, you know, I'm going to transition. So what I did was he was eating carnivore. So what I would do is eat more of like a low carb during the day. And then at night I would have like a carnivore dish. And I said, I'm going to enjoy my holiday. I'm going to eat my pork, my arroz con gandules, my yuca, like all the stuff that we eat. And then I'm going to start on January 1st. And it was the first New Year's resolution goal that I have ever probably committed to and actually went through it because it was for my health. And I knew that this was the only way to figure out what is going on and if it's going to help. My mentality was, what is the worst thing that can happen? The worst thing that can happen is that it doesn't work. And I still feel depressed and I still have anxiety and I still have fatigue and inflammation, right? Because the doctors weren't doing anything about it. I had doctors run tests. I even would tell them to run a hormone panel and I would tell them what to do, because they would just say everything looks fine, but yet I was still having all of these symptoms. I was sweaty. I was losing hair. I mean, there was a lot of different things. And so January 1st, I said, not only am I going to start the carnivore diet, but I'm going to start my YouTube channel and I'm going to document everything. And I'm going to write everything down in a journal, what I'm eating, what I'm feeling. I did it all. And that's how I've been able to find out that, for example, I can't have bone broth because of the high histamines and I get like allergic reaction. So everybody is different. I always say it. There's no one size fits all. People want to say yes, because carnivore is the way to eat and that's how we should eat. Yes. I'm starting to agree with that. I believe in it and I do believe that it works. But I've also seen that there's some things like bone broth doesn't work for me, whereas it does work for other people. So I think we just have to little by little see what works for you and your body. And in doing so, I no longer feel depressed. My anxiety is a lot less. I talk about it on my channel. I do still have anxiety here and there. I think it's more just mental state of just life in general. I think that we also have to remember that things in life happen and it's okay to be sad. And sometimes we're going to get anxious and that's normal, but nothing like how I was. I had anxiety every single day throughout the whole day. It was very overwhelming. My inflammation has gone down. I was starting to feel like I had a carpal tunnel or some type of arthritis because it was just really hurting here in my hands. And I no longer feel that anymore. I have more energy. I don't have that afternoon crash like I did. And I don't wake up with that brain fog over my head. So carnivore has been a lifesaver for me. And the only regret that I have, and I tell everybody, is that I didn't do it sooner. And sometimes we just have to find, you know, when it's your time and you're going to do it when you're ready. But I talk about it because I hear so many people talking about their illnesses and talking about depression and anxiety. There's so many people out there that have it that don't talk about it, and not knowing that the foods that we are eating could be causing those symptoms. And as crazy as that sounds, I was depressed for 8 years. I have very few little videos of me crying. I videoed myself like 2 or 3 times because I don't really, it's not my thing, but I just did it to do it. And I'm glad I did, because I was able to post a couple of those of like me just being in my feelings. And it was nothing that happened. It was literally just this overwhelming sadness that just occurs. And people don't realize that with depression, it's not what you do or something that happens in your day. It could just become something all of a sudden, all these feelings, all these, the anxiety, like in just a second. And it's not like, oh, just change your mind frame and get out of it. That's not how it works. And so I like to share the story. I like to talk about it, my personal journey, because I'm not a doctor or anything, but in hopes that if you can see that it's helped me, that maybe it will help you.
Yeah, it's amazing how much something as changing your diet can, how much it can solve. And a lot of people take it for granted, since it's something we do every day. Everyone eats every day. And it just becomes, well, as you mentioned earlier, it becomes like one's identity. Like what you eat is who you are. Like if you're a Latina, Latino, you have to have your beans, your tortillas, and all these type of things. And if you can't have it, you have like this strange crisis moment. And just imagining eating differently, basically a carnivore diet, it just sounds like something way too dramatic. Now you were depressed for like at least 8 years, and that's, wow, that's a long, long time. And I'm just really glad you managed to try this out. You had enough curiosity. But it seems like a lot of people who enter the carnivore diet, they do it out of desperation. So that's unfortunately how a lot of people discover it. But I'm glad you looked for it that way. And you tried out the ultimate elimination diet. Like it's the best way.
Right.
People can be allergic to like pork and chicken, but red meat in particular, it's very, very hard. At least I personally haven't found anyone who's allergic to red meat. I mean, yeah, you can get bitten by this Lone Star tick. And the alpha gal syndrome, where you become allergic to mammal meat, but that's like a very rare thing. Like to be actually allergic to red meat, never heard of a case per se. And right. So once you began the carnivore diet, what were the first symptoms to resolve themselves, and in what time frame, more or less?
So I took way longer than what you hear on social media. I see it all the time. Oh, in 2 weeks, my anxiety was completely gone and my depression was gone, and it did not take 2 weeks. I quit almost every single day on the carnivore diet from day one because it was hard for me. It was hard to even eat a lot of red meat where I would be making like a steak for my husband, and I was like, I'm going to have chicken because I can't even smell the steak. Like, it took me a while. Now I almost eat red meat almost every single day. It's pretty much most of what I eat, but it took me at least those first 30 days. So when I started my journey, I said, I'm going to do 30 days. Like, give yourself small goals, because a lot of times that people quit is because you give these exaggerated goals that are unrealistic and you think that it's going to change overnight, and then you quit working out. You give yourself, oh, I'm going to work out this year, and you do 2 weeks and you don't lose weight and you quit. Things don't happen overnight. And I just kept reminding myself that. I said, it took 41 years to feed myself badly, you know, because that's what we knew. It's what our parents learned. It's what they gave us. My parents worked. I ate a lot of TV dinners, Chef Boyardee, I mean, all the things that my kids have never eaten. And I look back and I know that they did their best, but all of those foods is probably what harmed me along the way. And it took me, I said, I'm going to do 30 days. So I pushed myself. I literally had to talk to myself. I talked to my podcast, whoever was listening, like, I'm about to quit, but I'm going to keep going, because I had probably what they call the keto flu. I felt achy. I was still a lot of anxiety. I was still feeling sad. I'm like, this isn't working. People are saying that in like a week or two, they feel absolutely amazing. They have all this energy and they wake up out of bed, you know, with all this energy. And I'm like, I wake up out of bed wanting to go back to sleep. I have three kids. So is it because I have three kids, or is it because it's just not working for me? But I said, I'm going to do the 30 days. And as I was starting to reach the 30 days, I would have some good days. And those good days is what gave me hope. And then I would retract and I would be like, okay, maybe it's not working. And back and forth until I pretty much reached those 30 days. I said, 30 days, I said, I'm going to do 60. At 60, I said, I'm going to do 90. And then I rounded it off to 100 before trying to reintroduce a little bit of animal-based foods. But I really started to feel better getting closer to the 30 days. I was having less anxiety. I wasn't feeling depressed. I was having less inflammation. I was starting to feel a little bit more energy. That took a little bit of learning my body as well. I was realizing that I wasn't getting enough electrolytes. So I did use a little bit of a supplement in the beginning. I don't even have to use it now. And noticing when I was feeling tired, it was because I wasn't drinking enough water. I kind of linked those two things together, and people don't realize, you know, you hear drink your H2O, how important it is, but I never linked it with energy. And that was a huge eye opener, because whenever I felt it, I was like, I didn't really drink water today because I'm busy. And I tend to do that. I'm here, but I don't drink water. So I bought like a huge cup that would make me, you know, get my water intake in, and that helped with my energy. And so pretty much after the 30 days, when I started feeling it all, I started feeling all the symptoms kind of diminish a little bit. But the biggest thing was the depression and the lowering of my anxiety, because those two things were like huge weight lifted off my shoulders of like, oh my gosh, I haven't felt sad or cried in the last week, or, oh, I didn't even feel anxiety all day yesterday. Or when I would go out to a little class with my baby, and having to go out gave me anxiety, like that social anxiety. And I was like, oh, like I'm heading there and I'm not getting anxious while driving there. So I just would notice these little things throughout the day. And it was this wow moment of why are doctors not telling us to change our nutrition and see how that works for us before brushing us off, because I got brushed off a lot. My doctor literally pretty much told my husband, because we have the same doctor, that it was in my head because I was too young to have all of these things. And yes, I'm too young to have all of these things. I probably am. But the reality is that I had all of these things. And my gynecologist when I told her I was feeling depressed and I was feeling anxiety and getting very irritable with people around me after having my baby, was just told that that was normal. And so it's like, no, we need to stop saying that things are normal. Yes, women get postpartum, but it's not normal. It's something that needs to be talked about, something that needs to be looked into. Why are they getting this? And not just either brushing it off or going straight to medication. So I was so grateful that I found carnivore and that I am slowly, and I still say I'm slowly still healing, because you don't heal overnight. Again, it was 41 years of eating really bad foods to now trying to heal my body going carnivore.
Amazing how detached my colleagues have become from, well, developing a doctor-patient relationship, like actually analyzing the individual, the human in front of you, and simply following an algorithm. Like, okay, these are the symptoms, these are the possible diagnoses, and here's your medication. Like, they don't look for alternative type of ways to heal, like diet being one of the most important ones. And what you mentioned early on, you didn't plan on transitioning slowly, because usually what's recommended is that you do a slow transition to carnivore, lasting at least 6 weeks, more or less, to help mitigate the, you know, things like keto flu, oxalate dumping. Sounds like you were suffering from these type of things.
Right. I felt like I was, and I did kind of transition slowly. Like I said, I started in October when my husband started, where I was kind of trying to cut out the carbs. I wasn't really eating many veggies. I might not have even eaten any, really, because I would notice that if I ate a lot of veggies, I always felt really bloated by the end of the night. By the end of the night, that was another thing. I looked like I was 3 months pregnant every single night. I was like, what is going on? Like, and I just didn't feel right. I didn't feel good. And I have microscopic colitis, so I had a lot of flare ups sometimes. And so I did slowly try to like eliminate carbs. Like I would normally have like a breakfast sandwich in the morning with an English muffin. So I started to like not have the English muffin, just do the eggs and what a sausage or whatever. And then I would, on the weekends I would make my pasta, because I was like, okay, I want to slowly transition to like get myself out of like eating the foods that I really love to eat. But my husband was doing carnivore, so that made it already a lot easier on not, you know, overindulging in all the other foods. But and like I said, dinner was pretty much carnivore dinner with him. And so, yeah, I had heard about the keto flu and I didn't think that I was getting it, but I was feeling a little bit of like those, like your achiness in your bones, I guess, is kind of how I could describe it. And the only thing I can think of is that it was the keto flu. And maybe even though I slowly transitioned, it wasn't enough to not get the keto flu. It didn't last very long, the keto flu, but I say it was like a roller coaster of not only emotions, but of how I was, you know, transitioning into the carnivore lifestyle and learning to eat better. And I did open up so as I told you, like red meat, the smell of it, everything was kind of, it even grossed me out. And so I said, well, I'm going to eat chicken and I'm going to have fish if I can, or shrimp, and just kind of like mix it up. So I didn't feel like I only had to eat red meat, but yet I was still having all of the animal products. So I did that. And then little by little, I had more red meat, And every once in a while, I still switch it up just because I like to, and I love like a good chicken thigh with the skin on. I like to make the skin crispy. And so I'll eat that, and I'll do like a surf and turf, like the meat and the shrimp on the side. But for the most part, a lot of time now is just pretty much, other than my breakfast, is always pretty much the same. It's eggs and bacon. I don't deviate too much from my breakfast. And then for dinner, it's probably just a steak.
A lot of people begin like that. They don't like red meat sometimes. Like they think, especially they don't like it that red. They like it more like basically char, like just ash, basically.
I gotta have my red meat medium rare.
Fantastic. Yeah, yeah. My wife, it seems that she's also been going through a similar journey as you. She started having some like a lot of gastrointestinal problems. She suffered from intense migraines when she was younger. Like it seems like she's intolerant to a lot of foods, vegetables and fruits as well. So when she tries to transition to carnivore, she also suffers through terrible keto flu type symptoms, oxalate dumping. And it's a hassle because she can't tolerate a lot of veggies and fruits. And this is the thing, carnivore is still relatively new, to be honest. Like there's no randomized control trials or anything along how exactly to transition, what foods are. So it's really an individual experiment for each person. Like, you really have to find out what you can eat, because it's going to be different for me, different for you, different for my wife, for example. And that's another important part, which is why I think it's important to have a community. Because you're doing this alone, you can easily get dissuaded. Like, this is just not working for me. I'm trying this and it's just failing. I have these symptoms. And fortunately, the community is growing immensely. And one of my objectives is actually to increase the create communities in the Spanish speaking world, because there really aren't many people here who speak in the Spanish speaking world who follow the carnivore diet, who have communities. I don't know if you, your husband speak Spanish or have friends who speak Spanish. It would be awesome if you could, I don't know, if you ever considered maybe opening a Spanish YouTube channel, or simply making a community where you speak Spanish. Because, you know, I'm sure you know, but a lot of Latinos, we have so many health problems, obesity, diabetes, just like Americans. There's just a huge epidemic on these type of metabolic diseases. And we could use all the help possible to help reverse this. And carnivore, I think, is a fantastic way. Now, you did diet. Did you also try to do other things? Like, people who start carnivore usually start going down other rabbit holes, you know, like sunbathing, grounding, and things like that.
Funny enough, I've actually, before carnivore, was into grounding crystals. I meditate. I actually got a funny comment saying, how can you meditate when that's like Buddhist and peaceful and you're killing animals? And I'm like, meditation is not just for vegans. Meditation is for whoever wants to meditate and clear your mind, you know? So I've actually always been into that kind of stuff. That's funny enough. I noticed going into the carnivore world that a lot of people are into grounding and sun and vitamin D and all that stuff. So I was kind of already into that before even going carnivore.
So you were doing basically grounding, sunbathing, meditating, anything else that, You've tried out?
I started getting into working out, exercising. I exercise from home. This is my office / gym in here. And because of my depression and anxiety, and, you know, I would hear, you know, nutrition, you need to work out, meditation, grounding, all these things are great for stress, for reducing anxiety, for reducing depression. So that's when I really started to get into a lot more of that. And although it did very much help me through my depression and my anxiety, because there was days that I didn't want to wake up, and my workouts, I have a wellness coach as well. So I have a group of girls that jump on Zoom and we all push play from our home. And that little community helped me to get up out of bed and look forward to my workouts and get my meditation in early in the morning before the kids got up. And it was like my me time. And so I really got into that because of the way that I was feeling. But again, it didn't take it away. It didn't, you know, I was still feeling all these feelings. And so that's when I was like, okay, now I need to do something totally different than what I've been doing. I've tried the different diets. I've tried the meditation. I've tried the grounding. And like I said, I mean, a lot of times it got me through the day. It reduced my anxiety. Sometimes I would work out here when I was feeling really anxious and immediately felt like a lot better, but it would only last for so long. And then like later on in the day, the anxiety would come back. So having going carnivore, like I said, I mean, life changer. I can't talk about it enough, because people want to say, why are you sharing these things and spreading information? And, you know, because we should be eating our vegetables and you're saying they're bad. And, you know, I'm the type of person that you do you. If you want to go and eat vegetables, by all means, what you're doing is not affecting me. And what I'm doing shouldn't be affecting you. So if I want to go ahead and eat all the red meat that I want to eat, and I know that it's healing me, then I'm going to do that. Because until you live with depression or anxiety, or maybe you have diabetes, or you have another illness that is even worse, and this is helping cure you and get you off medication, then there is something to be said. Like you said, there's not enough trials, and we need to start doing them, because we really need to see, why is this helping so many people? People want to, you know, talk badly about it instead of changing your mindset as to why are so many people saying it's helping. That would be my curiosity. That was my curiosity, you know, because like I said, I thought carnivore was crazy. I was like, I'm not going to do that crazy diet. Like, I told my husband, you're crazy. Like, no. And because that's our first instinct. But you have to change that question as to why are so many people doing it? And then I started to look into whys. And I started to see people saying what it was curing and how it was helping them. And I'm like, there's something to this. If there are so many people saying that it's working for them, then there is something. There's something there. And we need to start learning. And I was already kind of reading ingredients and always tried to eat as healthy as possible from when I was having kids. Like I would make them their own purees and stuff like that here at home. But now going carnivore, it's like, I read all the ingredients I read and it could be overwhelming. It is overwhelming. It's frustrating because there is not one thing, one snack as healthy as it is without sugar that doesn't have a seed oil in it. Or, you know, so it is frustrating. And I definitely understand that everybody has time to make food and snacks for their kids at home. You know, people work full time. So I just say, do your best. Do your best with your kids. Do the best with you, what you can do. And that's what I'm doing. I'm doing the best that I can. And transitioning to carnivore was something that was talked about for a long time. Like I said, my husband he even told me, do keto. Like I've heard people, their anxiety and getting better off keto. And I didn't want to do that either. And because I was just, I talked about it, like balanced diet, like you can still, and yes, you can lose weight on a balanced diet, right? But it's not the weight that people should be 100% concerned about. It's your overall health and the way that you're feeling.
It looks like carnivore was the missing piece of the puzzle. And you're doing basically everything right. You know, you're active, you were doing, you're young as well. So like you should have been healthy by all standards. Because it's obviously not just diet. Like diet, it has to be combined with exercise, sleeping well, a lot of other things. But I always say that diet is the most important component because, you know, it's typical. People argue that, you know, like grounding or sunbathing is more important and all these things. Yeah. I still think diet is the pillar, like the foundation. Of course, it's very important to these other things as well. So in your part, particular case, it seems diet was the most important decisive factor for bettering your health, correct?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So
yeah, I was doing all the things, like you said, anybody that looked at that was like, you should be healthy. You shouldn't have all these things because they say that these things help. But what was the one factor that was probably causing it was my nutrition. And I didn't eat a lot of processed foods and, you know, I probably had sugar, which was whatever was in a food that probably has added sugar. But I wasn't going out of my way. I've never been a really big sweets person. So I wasn't eating all the sweets. I don't eat candy. I was relatively eating healthy, right? Like of what you would think healthy is your protein, your veggies, your fats, your healthy fats, you know, and yet I was still feeling depressed and I was still having anxiety and I had fatigue and all these things. And it, like I said, I'll repeat it. It wasn't until carnivore that these things started to go away and diminish. And I'm still working on my health every single day. I think it's something that you never have to stop working on because it's not just about nutrition, like you said. It's about moving your body, getting exercise. That's important for your muscles and for your bones as we get older. Grounding, vitamin D, the sun, you know, get outside. I notice that when I've been inside too long because it's been raining and or whatever, I've been busy working and the kids and we've just been inside for like a day or two straight. I'm like, oh my gosh, I need to step outside. I haven't stepped out and I can feel it. I feel like that anxiousness and that like overwhelming of like, I need to get outside and people don't realize that you need to get outside. And so I think it's an overall thing. You need to do all the things. But yes, nutrition is definitely the base of getting healthy and feeling good.
Did you also try out like the blue filtering glasses and all these type of things?
I have not, but I have followed a couple people who talked about it and kind of just like dabbling and learning about it. And I'm like, maybe there is something to that because we are on our screens a lot, right? Whether it's the TV or our phone, I do social media management as well. So I am on the computer working on client stuff or on the phone getting in. So my sleep has never been that great. And I'm like, maybe, you know, that does have something to do with it, but I have not gotten like the glasses or anything. I know that's kind of,
I just went all in on that. I bought some glasses for my wife and I, and some light bulbs even. I didn't sleep well last night because I had to stay up late. But so it's barely the second day. But my wife says it looks like she's sleeping better. But we'll see. We'll see about that.
Do you wear them like a couple hours before bed, or what are you supposed to do?
So basically, once the sun starts going down, and if I have to use a screen, I put on my glasses. So it's basically, okay. Blue light is, you need blue light. It's a natural part of the sun. So that's mm-hmm. okay. But it's at nighttime when you should filter out blue light. It's not natural to be exposed to it when the sun's down. So that's when I use it. And obviously in the light bulbs, well, you only turn them on when it's dark. So we turn them on and yeah. it's already filtering out the blue light. So that's pretty good. And you've solved a lot of your problems, or at least improved a lot of the symptoms. Nonetheless, you still suffer through some of these conditions, I believe. Which ones are they? And have you considered trying the lion diet, which is just basically pure meat, salt, and water?
Yeah. So I still have a little bit of anxiety here and there. Usually I do realize that when I do feel anxious or irritable, it's due to something happening. So it's not like the other part of my anxiety where it just would pop out of anywhere and I would get like really anxious. It's like, I know that it's also a mental thing of learning how to deal with things that are happening in life. I still do have some inflammation where I have a bulging disc in my neck and in my low back. And that kind of went out a few months ago, and I've gone to the chiropractor, which helps, but it's still not 100%. And I don't know if it's still things that maybe I am eating, or if it's just, I have a bulging disc in my neck and, you know, and that's just going to be how it is. So it's a little hard to really know. But I have actually the other day in my most recent podcast, I actually talked about possibly doing like a reset of 30 days of just red meat, eggs, and salt, because I think I still need to have my eggs. I don't know that I can do like steak for breakfast and steak for dinner. and maybe like not do bacon and see how that does, even though I love my bacon. And I am big on dairy, like cheese. So that would be very hard for me. I feel like implementing a little bit of cheese here and there is almost kind of like my treat, you know? But I feel if I do it as a 30 days kind of challenge for myself of just to see how I feel, and then slowly transition back into adding, you know, a little bit of cheese and stuff like that. Because I do think that you need to stick to something that is doable for you and how you want to live. Because I come from Hispanic background and we love our food, people say, well, food shouldn't make you happy. It's just to fuel your body. And I understand that, but food makes me happy. I don't care what people say. Food makes me happy. I love food. I love to cook. I love to eat. Like, I have always loved that. And so going carnivore was hard for me in that sense because I love that. And I'm actually surprised of how good I've done, where I don't really miss a lot of the other foods that I thought that I would miss. So it's kind of like this balance of still wanting to enjoy what I eat, wanting to enjoy my foods. I mean, being creative with a carnivore diet is fun, and where you don't feel like you just have to be boring and just eat red meat all day. So I don't think that I would want to do it for too long, but I have thought about doing like a 30-day kind of like a reset and seeing if my anxiety does get better, if maybe a little bit of inflammation and a few things that have not completely gone away. If that would really help.
I think I would say you should try it. Like it's I've heard many times that doing that little jump from like 95% carnivore to 100% carnivore, it's not just a 5% improvement. It can be a 50, even 100% improvement. Like sometimes just those little tiny tweaks in the diet can make a huge, huge difference, especially since you mentioned you had like microscopic colitis, right? So there's like a autoimmune component to that. So for people with autoimmune diseases, especially if it's kind of advanced, the recommended version is the lion diet initially for them, because even they could be allergic to the casein and eggs, you know? So even eggs can cause problems. Yeah. So
I have done no eggs in the past, but I was eating veggies. So it's kind of hard to say maybe what, if it was more the veggies, but I did, when I told you that I removed gluten and dairy, I also did no eggs for a while. So I've done those things before. That's why I don't think it's the cheese. And I don't think, cause I've done those things before where it didn't really make a difference. But this would be like the ultimate elimination of just eating the red meat and the salt and water. So I would have to definitely, and I love my coffee. I have to have a cafecito in the morning. So that would be very, very, very hard for me, but I am contemplating trying 30 days. I know that it would be a long 30 days.
That would be amazing. Actually, I also don't do 100% carnivore right now. If you decide to do it, count me in. And okay. I think on Noster, we could try to invite people, make a type of carnivore, 30-day carnivore line diet challenge. Where like, I don't know, every day we're posting what we're eating and we support each other, because I think it's much more easier.
That way. And that would give it, that would keep me a little more accountable.
Yeah. And just 30 days. Yeah. I think we can live 30 days. Like what's 30 days to be honest. So let's see if we can organize that. That'd be pretty awesome. And physically, do you notice that your body is less inflamed? Have other people noticed this?
Yes. So I'm told more like that I'm a lot skinnier. I wasn't ever really overweight before because I was exercising and I was eating relatively healthy or whatever you want to call it. So I had lost already a lot of the baby fat from my third baby. And with my third baby, I worked out throughout my whole pregnancy. That was the first baby that I worked out throughout my, like literally the last day that I worked out, I had him that night. So I literally worked out throughout my whole pregnancy. And that made a huge difference on, I feel, losing the weight after I had him. But I was still having that inflammation, like I said, like that bloatedness where I looked like I was 3 months pregnant by the end of the night. I still did have a little bit of like the muffin top, little chichos, you know? I think they just see it because I've lost that little gut that I still kind of had after having the baby. And I really think that that was due to going carnivore because I couldn't get rid of that little tiny pudge that I had going on. Whereas now I don't have that. I don't, at nighttime, I don't have it anymore. I don't feel heavy and tired after I eat either. That's a huge thing. When you realize when you're not eating the breads and the rice and the pastas of how you feel afterwards, you know, I make a carnivore pizza and even my husband, whereas when we would order pizza, we're big UFC fans. Every Saturday was pizza night, you know? And so when we went carnivore, we didn't do obviously pizza for a long time. And then I was like, let me start seeing what I can do. And I did a carnivore pizza, and that's kind of our thing now. And we get full up of like four slices of like a small carnivore pizza when we were eating like this huge New York style pizza before and had like two or three of those slices. And it's because we're just eating protein. And I don't feel like that ick feeling after you finish either. So there is ways to incorporate fun food, like I said, in the carnivore diet and still kind of, you know, eat this way. And it's just, it's amazing.
Yeah. My wife makes a pretty good carnivore pizza as well. Well, she basically, instead of flour, she uses chicharrón, which is basically the pigskin.
Yeah.
That's like the dough, and you put your cheese and your pepperoni, maybe some tomato sauce. So a little more on a carnivore's keto, but
I would love, I love tomato sauce on my pizza, but I have not had any tomatoes.
So how do you prepare your carnivore pizza or your keto pizza?
I make mine with chicken and eggs and cheese, and that's my dough. And then I fill it up with any other meat, bacon. There's one Italian sausage that I like from a local place here called, oh my gosh, I'm going blank right now on it, but it doesn't have all of like the other grocery stores. Like they have preservatives, they add sugar to the sausage, which if you don't look at the ingredients, you don't realize things that are not needed. And this is like the cleanest sausage. So I'll do the Italian sausage. We'll do pepperoni, whatever you want to add on it. And I use like the real mozzarella cheese. It's so good. Yeah, and then I put a little bit of cream cheese as like my sauce, since we don't have red sauce on it. But we really don't really, even my husband's like, I don't really miss the red sauce. Like, it's so good that you don't really miss it. So it's good.
Exactly. Like keto carnivore can be very delicious. And there's so many ways to prepare your meat that you can have organ meats as well. I know it's a lot of people say organ meat, you shouldn't overeat it. I agree. Yeah. You shouldn't, like, especially liver. Because they suffer from hypervitaminosis and stuff like that. But in Mexico, for example, we love eating cow stomach to make menudo. We love tripitas, which is basically a small intestine all cut up and to make little tacos. Obviously, you can eat without the tortilla, you just eat the meat. So there's like a lot of delicious dishes you can eat. It's not just red meat, which I agree should be the main part of your dish, but you can have a lot of different, you can have a lot of variety, basically.
Exactly.
Have you also criticisms? Have you suffered any criticisms from family members, friends, coworkers?
I've actually been really, so I work from home, so I don't have any coworkers. I'm my coworker. I'm my own coworker. But I've actually been very blessed with a very understanding family. So they know that I'm on it and they'll ask like, oh, are you still doing carnivore? Okay, well, this is what we're making. And if they're making something that I can't have, I don't care. I'll bring my own meat. And I have. I've gone to my brother's house and brought two steaks for me and my husband, or I made burgers, you know, and I put it in a Tupperware and I take it with me. Because I understand, like, you're not going to cook just because me and my husband are in carnivore. And when family comes here, we're making the meat. I tell everybody, bring whatever side dish you want. I don't have, the only thing that we probably still have is maybe rice and beans every once in a while that I'll make for the kids. And they don't eat that every day either. So I don't have any other sides besides that. And so it's pretty much like a family thing, and yeah, they've been good with it. I haven't had any issues with friends. I have actually had a few ask me, how's it going? Like, what is it about? Like, I had a friend today, I was talking to her because we worked out together, and then she was asking me to tell her a little bit about the car. So I gave her like some of the people that I listen to and kind of to start there and, you know, let me know if she has any questions, but more curiosity than anything. And some of them have even seen my YouTube, and I really haven't had any, unless they're thinking it, they have not said it out loud.
That is so cool. Like, to have this support, because usually people think you're crazy if you try to do something like the carnivore diet. That is really cool that you have all this support. And what would you say are the main challenges when starting out carnivore and maintaining carnivore? Like, things like costs, because another common critique is like, that's really expensive, or that sounds really, really expensive. Like, what would you recommend people who are starting out?
So I just did an episode on that, on saying, people always saying that, because I hear that all the time. Carnivore is expensive, and I get it, because meat can be expensive. But you have to remember, you're not buying the pastas, you're not buying the rice, you're not buying the bread, you're not buying the veggies, you're not buying all these things that we used to spend money on. So now that money goes towards your meat. So yes, some things might be a little bit pricier, but I would say it probably more likely evens out. And then there's also other ways. You don't have to have a ribeye every night. We cannot all afford to I would love to be able to eat ribeye every night, right? But there's other cuts of meat that you can have. If you go to like a butcher, a lot of times they can cut the big meat into different types of meats that you can make as well. There's ground beef, and maybe, you know, there's different ways to make ground beef. Ground beef is probably the cheapest of the red meats. And again, you don't only have to eat red meat. You can eat chicken, you can eat game, you can eat seafood, and all of these things you can find great deals depending on where you live and your local grocery store. I personally don't have any local farmers, but I hear that sometimes that's the way to go. It just depends where you are on your budget, but there is a way to eat carnivore without it being super, super expensive.
And what would be like your message to someone who's interested in starting the carnivore diet, who's probably on the sidelines on whether to start or not? Like, what would be your recommendations there, your advice?
My advice is like what I did. Give yourself a small goal, you know, 30 days. What is a month if you're suffering, like, from an illness or whatever it is that you're going through? What is 30 days to you? And set your time. I'm starting on Monday, and that's it. Get rid of all the shit in your house, all the crap. Get rid of it, because when it's there, it's when it's temptation, you know? And some people, and I've seen it, And I will tell you, I don't think that I was a sugar addict, but having my kids' birthdays, all have two of them that are, you know, all in the same month. And then we had the end of the year school years, and then we had vacation. And so I gave myself the little bit of grace of like, I hadn't had any cake. We've gone to birthday parties. And it, like I said, I'm not a big dessert person, so it didn't bother me, but it was in front of us. And I was like, I'm going to have like the smallest slice, you know, and you want it again. And so it really is crazy how it really is an addiction. Sugar really is an addiction. And so if you are the type of person that has that addiction, you need to get everything out of the house. That is like the number one thing that I tell people, because if it's there, more than likely you're going to go and you're going to get it in the middle of the night or whatever time of day it is. And it's just not worth it. So get rid of everything. Say, I'm going to start day one on Monday, and you just got to do it. You just got to dive in, and you have to stop overthinking it. Because when we overthink it is when you decide, oh, next Monday and the next Monday, and then the next Monday never comes. And now you're 8 years like I was, feeling depressed and with anxiety when it could have been resolved a lot sooner, right? So that's, I tell them my journey, because I don't know how long this person has been on their journey, but it's like, wake up, you know, just do it. Just do it. And it doesn't have to be that hard. You don't have to do the lion diet where it's all red meat and it's like overwhelming for you. I started with red meat, chicken, like I said, you know, I mixed it up, and then little by little, you kind of want the red meat and you start adding more red meat into your diet. But it doesn't have to be that hard for 30 days.
Yeah, it's a nice little process. And actually, at the recommendation where you should empty your house from all temptations, that's one of the number one things I tell my patients. And also, if they go to the supermarket, make sure you ate well beforehand, because if you're hungry, you're going to put everything into that cart. So that's also very...
That has been my rule before carnivore, because it's true. You're hungry, you start picking all the things that you're not supposed to eat. The other recommendation in the grocery store, you don't need to go into any of the aisles. If you think about it, if you're doing, whether it's keto or carnivore, everything is on the outer side of the aisles of what you need to eat. Your dairy, your meat, if you eat veggies, it's all going to be on the outer side. So as a carnivore, you're only going to the meat section and maybe the dairy section, and you don't need to go in between. So you're in and out of the grocery store or order online. I order online because I have three kids and I can't always make it to the grocery store. And you actually save money this way, in the sense of, you know what you're ordering and you're like, oh, I'm spending this much. Well, I don't really need this. And you take it out, and then you stick to your budget as well. So that's like a huge thing as well that you can do if you're starting on the carnivore diet. Because with the meat though, sometimes that you do, I would say sometimes you have to start going to the grocery store just because you can find your deals and see what the meat looks like. You know, not everybody shops very good for the meat, but if you're ordering like the dairy and the things like that, you can do it online and not have to worry about it.
Yeah, those are very good tips, definitely. So if anyone listening to this wants to try the carnivore diet, you should totally listen to these tips. Like they're essential. You're like, don't play, I don't know, tough guy. Like, you will not fight temptations. Like, temptations will eventually get to you unless you have this abnormal amount of sheer willpower, which very few people actually have. So trust us on this. And try the carnivore diet. You have nothing to lose. You have very little to lose. Like, maybe you have diarrhea. Tiny symptoms are transitory. So you have very little to lose and a lot to gain. So, like, real quick, let's transition quickly onto Noster. So tell us a bit how you discovered Noster and how you feel being on this protocol.
So I'm a social media manager, so I'm always looking at like what's new, what's going on. And I found Noster. I like the fact that you can write what you want. You can, you know, it's not like all of these other websites that now like they try to stop you. There's all these algorithms and all these things. And so I kind of like that idea. And so I got onto that, and I actually got onto it. I did like one or two posts, and I was like, I couldn't quite figure it out at first. So I got off of it, and then I was like, I'm just going to try it again. And I did a post and I got some replies and some stuff. And then I was like, whoa, this is pretty cool. Like, so now I've just been on it. Yeah. For
Did you receive sats in that
I
post?
I did. And so I thought that was pretty cool. Yes, I'm like, you can't get that anywhere else, right? So yeah.
So like you're basically curious. You tried out Noster. Where do you hear about it first?
I think a friend had mentioned something about it, and I kind of had heard about it, and then I just kind of researched it. I just kind of looked it up.
And then you heard about Bitcoin, obviously. So So you mentioned earlier on before the interview that you had already heard about Bitcoin before, didn't give it much thought. And then once you became part of Noster, that's when you started researching it a bit more. What made you want to learn more about Bitcoin? I mean, where are you more or less in your journey?
I think it's like all of us. We're just, you save and your money goes into the bank and then it goes back out and you're like, what can I do to be okay, when you want to retire and just to do things. And so I'm always kind of just wanting to learn about all different things like nutrition and exercise and everything. So that kind of, going into Noster, started seeing people write about it, and I had heard about it. And so, yeah, just more of a curiosity thing and still learning.
Do you think that learning about carnivore perhaps made you feel more open-minded to something like Noster and Bitcoin? Because the way I see it is once you discover that our nutritional guidelines are out of whack, you're just completely wrong. And then you discover carnivore and you see how much it helps you. And you're always told that meat is bad. Red meat is bad for you, especially. So once you see all the benefits, you start to question yourself, like, what else have I been lied about? So I think it kind of helps open your mind and just go down different rabbit holes. Do you think there's a relation between carnivore, Bitcoin, Noster in any way?
I think psychologically, as humans, we're all very curious. And I think that, like you said, when you have a certain mindset to finally discover carnivore and finally go carnivore, which I think is a very strong person, like mentally, to be like, I'm going to do this. It opens your eyes to being, like you said, like, what else can, be different than what I've always thought? What we've always learned, what we learn in school, like even doctors, like you said, colleagues, you're taught whatever field you're going into. You're taught, this is the book. This is what you read. This is what you learn. And this is what you give this patient for X, Y, and Z. And we're not taught anything else. So I think we just need to start opening our minds and educating ourselves on all the different things that are out there. Things that maybe you don't even agree with, but just listening to what the other side. I like to listen to both sides, play kind of like devil's advocate. Like I said, like, if you want to eat your veggies, eat your veggies. I'm not going to sit here and rant to you how it might be bad for you. I might tell you what it did to me. I wrote the other day somebody wrote about broccoli and how gross it was. And I said, broccoli was actually my favorite vegetable, believe it or not. I said, but I learned that broccoli was doing me more harm. And then I got a reply saying, like, broccoli is not trying to kill you. I said, it might not be trying to kill you, but it's sure trying to kill me. Maybe not, really kill me, but it definitely wasn't doing me good. And so people just are so closed-minded. And I always say you have to open your mind to things, because you don't know what you're going to learn. You don't know what might change your life for the better. And so I'm just open to always learning. And so carnivore, Noster, coming in, learning about Bitcoin and just learning.
Yeah, like the saying goes, don't trust, verify. And you're right, like humans are naturally curious, but somewhere along the way, when we start growing up, they just knock the curiosity out of us. And also, as you mentioned, we become closed-minded, we become focused. Like, this is what they taught me, this is how life is. And anything outside of that paradigm is just unacceptable. So that's what I'm trying to, it's also about, it's kind of psychology. I'm trying to learn a way to get to people, like just enough to get them curious. Because once you can ignite that spark of curiosity, usually they'll do the homework themselves. Because that's exactly the thing. And you can talk about all the miracles of the carnivore diet and things like that. But in the end, it's the other person who it's their own will, their own incentives that will push them to the carnivore diet. You alone can't force someone to do it. Someone has to. Exactly.
There's the saying that you can take the horse to the water, but you can't make them drink.
Exactly.
And I've learned that even with my clients for the working out and stuff. Yeah, you know, they get all excited and they join and then they work out for a week and it didn't work. Well, no, you only did it for a week, but I can't force you to work out. You know, you can't force you to exercise and I can't force you to eat healthier. But all we can do is share that information, share what we learned and share what we're, if we're, you're on the journey like you are and your wife, you know, what is it helping with her? What is it helping with you? What is it helping with me? And sharing that information, exactly what you said, it's all psychological. It's going to get the person to thinking, there's something with this. Let me look more into it and then do their own research and figure it out for themselves.
Which is also why I'm super happy you're out there on YouTube, on the front lines, showing people what carnivore can do for them, which is also why I would love to join you in your 30-day challenge of just pure meat, because I think that could help a lot of people. Like, wow, so like she was basically eating only meat and she just went pure carnivore. I'm not saying that it's totally going to make everything else better. Like maybe it won't, but 30 days,
well,
I think
it will, right?
Yeah, maybe it will. And maybe it will. And it can help motivate other people. So how, have you thought about how long you want to do carnivore? Have you thought like, okay, I'm going to stop around here. Like, have you considered going back?
I literally started saying 30, 60, 90, 100. And now on my podcast yesterday, I think it was 190 days. So 191 days today, carnivore. And I don't see myself stopping, honestly. I will say that I also will give myself grace and love myself and say it's okay to have a little small piece of cake if it's somebody's birthday. Probably not often because I had it the other day and I'm like, oh, I'm good for like probably a really long time. We make our own carnivore ice cream. So I don't feel super deprived, you know? But I just know what it's healed. And I actually, after the 100 days of carnivore, I reintroduced slowly to go more animal-based, like I was telling you. And I did fruit probably for a little over 2 weeks, reintroducing for 3 days at a time and one at a time so that I knew what was, if something gave me a reaction, I would know what it was. And when I reached pineapple by almost 2 weeks, I had such bad inflammation in my hands that my husband was like massaging them because it just hurt so bad. And it was waking me up at 4 a.m. because of the pain. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I think it was the pineapple. But you always hear how sometimes like the fruit is a diuretic, right? Am I saying that right? And yeah. So how is this causing inflammation? But there it was. So then I didn't know, well, is it eating fruit 2 weeks in a row, like 2 weeks straight? Because even before I didn't eat that much fruit, or is it the pineapple? So I stopped it all and went back to carnivores. And I waited probably like another 2 weeks and I said, okay, I'm going to try pineapple again just to see if it was the pineapple. And I got like major anxiety the next day. It's always like the next day when something kind of triggers me. And I said, okay, it's the pineapple. I can't have pineapple. And so I've had mango because we have a mango tree, but I don't eat fruit every day. And I do notice a little bit of inflammation when I do. So for me, although it works for people that go animal-based, for me, I find like it's not as much as I do like fruit every once in a while, especially in the summertime when we're out in the pool and have, you know, a little bit of fruit, but it doesn't work for me. And so you have to see what works for you. That's what I think, like you said, doing this lion diet, maybe this challenge is going to see, is it that going to work for me? You know, and you don't know until you try.
Definitely. Definitely. And yeah, like you'll see there's like different poles in the carnivore community. Like there's the lion diet type people or even people eating raw steak, like raw meat.
Oh, I did see that recently.
Yeah, it's I haven't considered doing that yet, but I don't think I'll do it. But I'm curious, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry?
I saw that. I'm like, my husband's like, but we've had raw meat. We've had like that tartare. And I said, that is true, but I don't think I can eat like raw ground beef. yeah, I don't think I'll do it. I'll do the lion diet any day of the week before that. But to each their own. If I don't know if it's helping them with anything, but if they want to try it, I don't know how good that is for you. but you have to find what works for you.
Yeah, the argument there is that basically when you expose the meat to heat, it loses some of its nutrition. Like vitamins get broken down, protein also gets broken down. But actually, in a way, fire helps digest the meat easier. And you have not seen anyone eating meat for like decades. There's people following a carnivore diet for decades who've been cooking it all their lives. They don't, yeah, sure. So maybe the nutritional value goes down, but it's never been seen to really affect us negatively in any way. And it's actually one theory as to why our brains suddenly exploded in growth around a million years ago, because it was a steady, our brain mass was growing steadily for the past few millions of years for their ancestors. And then suddenly, like a million years ago, it started skyrocketing. And they attribute that maybe to the discovery of a fire, because fire helps makes digesting meat a lot easier. So you're expending less energy to digest your food. Therefore, more energy is available for your brain. So that's just a theory.
Yeah, so, I saw a video on something like that. And also how the brain was smaller and then how it grew or something like that. I forget the video that I saw, but I have heard about that, and that kind of makes sense. Yeah, I don't think I would eat raw meat.
Yeah,
I also, to each their own. There's carnivores that like to eat the butter. You know, have you seen a lot of those? Not my thing. Yeah, I tried it. I'm not gonna lie. I tried it. I was like, let's see what this butter thing's about. And I took a bite. And I'm like, nope, not for me. And I love butter, but you know, to each their own.
Exactly. Basically, that's the sum it all up, to each their own. Yeah. You have to discover what works for you. But I do recommend at least once in your life that someone should try doing a carnivore diet, like pure meat, for just 30 days. Like that's something that we should at least try once in our life. And because you never know. You never know what might happen. You might notice a huge difference. You might not notice much of a difference or any difference at all. But you have nothing to lose. And
yeah, we'll put that together and then we'll let everybody know.
Yeah. So Christine, where can people find you?
So I'm on Noster. I think it's just Kristen Carrera, right? I would have to look at my phone. And then on Instagram, I'm Kristen Nicole Carrera, because there's another Kristen Carrera out there. So don't mistake that person. it's my full Kristen Nicole Carrera on Instagram. And yeah, just I still have Twitter, but I don't post on there as much as probably Noster, because I'm not limited on my wording on Noster, which I hate about X, as they call it now. So yeah, Instagram. And I also have, for recipes on Instagram, I have A Girl's Kitchen. So I put my recipes on carnivore. I've had that account for a very long time, because like I told you, I love to cook. And I used to have a website with my recipes and everything. I don't have the website going on right now, but I decided to start my Instagram up again and focus on carnivore and animal-based kind of dishes.
That is really cool. Actually, yes. When people start carnivore, they feel it's very limited, and having recipes available definitely helps get through those first 30, 60, 90 days. I'll add all these links to the description below, so people can follow you. And Christine Carrera, thank you very much for your time. This was a very fruitful conversation, and hopefully we can have a follow-up maybe after your 30-day challenge if you decide to do it.
Yes, yes. No, let's do it. I gotta prepare my mental state for it, but but we'll get it together. We'll let people know on Noster, like you said, and then yes, we should do a follow-up together.
All right, it's done. Well, take care. Thank you.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.